Shakira.
That was stinky. Tune into WOMY 90.9 FM on the
Stinky.
Yeah, a little bit. It's kind of hot.
This is the sound of E. coli splashing around in raw hamburger juice on your cutting board. And it looks like Mom just put the tomatoes and onions on there, too. Don't let E. coli mosh with your food. An estimated 3,000 Americans die from a foodborne illness each year. So always separate raw meat from vegetables on two cutting boards. Keep your family safe at foodsafety.gov. Brought to you by the USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council.
Hey, everyone. You're listening to the WONY Weekly Update. Here are some things to look forward to. On Tuesday, September 30th, join the Ultimate Frisbee Team for their practice happening from 4 to 6 p.m. on the intramural field. Also happening on Tuesday, join the Computer Art Club for their meeting happening in Fine Arts 321 from 6:30 to 7:30 p.m. Lastly, join Student Association for Trivia Tuesday, happening from 9 to 10 p.m. in the Red Dragon Theater. On Thursday, join the Student Caribbean Association for a game of Spooky Bingo, happening from 6 to 7 p.m. in Alumni Hall. Also happening on Thursday, join the Center for Racial Justice for a powerful panel discussion in celebration of Hispanic and Latinx Heritage Month. This will be happening in the Great Room from 6:30 to 8 p.m. On Friday, join OK Crew for their K-pop dance workshop, happening from 4 to 5 p.m. in Fine Arts 103. On Saturday, be sure to check out the community table at the Farmers Market. This will be happening on Dietz Street in town from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. On Saturday, join Student Association for A Night of the Impossible with Larry and Raven. This will be happening from 8 to 9 p.m. in the ballroom. On Sunday, join WONY for our general body meeting and come and learn about our awesome club. This will be happening from 3 to 4 p.m. in Fitzell Hall 303. Hope to see you there. This has been your WONY Weekly Update on WONY 90.9 FM Oneonta. Be sure to have a great week and keep it locked.
Keep it locked, yo, DJ Nuss for Mark 2. We're doing a 90s day today, and as soon as she shows up, which should be very soon... She's upstairs probably listening to this right now. Ange Dolesky, our awesome Hunt Union representative, is going to come down and talk some 90s music with us. And we're going to play some vinyl, and we're going to chat about stuff. And she's going to play a couple songs from her band, bands that she was in when she went to school here and after that and so forth. So I'm going to get this thing started, though, with... yeah, once again, 90s. We're looking at the heavier side of the 90s, too. So, going to play some Rotten Apple, Alice in Chains off of Jar of Flies. DJ Mosfer, Mark II. Hey, we're here this morning with Angela Eskey. We just listened to some Rotten Apple House and Chains. We're going to talk things 90s because that's when we grew up because we're like 9,000 years old.
Yes, we are.
How are you doing? Can you hear everything okay over there?
I can, yeah. Thanks,
great.
Mark.
Sure. So before I kind of go on with a bunch of other things here, introduce yourself, what you do for the school, because you're a big part of this institution here.
I am.
And have been for quite a long time. So
yeah.
Tell us a little bit about you, Oneana, where you went to school, if you went to school.
I could do that, yeah.
Awesome.
So I work in the Hunt Union. My state title is Administrative Assistant for the Office of Student Life and Leadership, but I'm pretty much the event coordinator here. Been doing this for 15 to 17 years. I left for a year and a half and was very sad that I did and was actually able to come back and get my old job back, which I absolutely love, working here in the Hunt Union, reserving spaces, helping people with conferences and stuff like that. I graduated high school in 1989. Dinosaur, yeah.
Ooh, that's a good year.
Uh-huh. And I didn't, you know, I wanted to be one of those kids that did a gap year that wasn't really a thing back then. My parents were like, no, you have all that money from Dairy Queen. You're going to college.
Oh, you worked at the Dairy Queen?
Yes.
That's amazing.
Dairy Queen.
Was it
Grand,
still in the same spot?
In Grand Union. Yeah, it was okay. In the same spot. So I decided to go to Morrisville, Ag and Tech two-year school. It wasn't much of a commitment. You know, it was 2 years. Did great my first year, kind of partied too much my second year, transferred to Oneana, and then just landed here in Oneana and probably like a year or two after that, started a band with some friends like Jason Papke. May he rest in peace.
Yep.
He saw me sing at open mic night with a friend of mine.
Oh, wow. Where was the open mic?
It was at Today's Lounge.
Wow.
With Tim Corbett.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Was it on that stage? That's kind of a stage.
Yes. Oh, so you're God. Talking like...
Yeah.
92, 93, yeah.
Okay.
And then, you know, so that first band was called Shady Myers.
Okay.
And Adam Militello played drums.
I don't think I knew anything about this band.
We okay. had a little green cassette tape that Wayne Carrington recorded for us.
Shady Myers, M-Y-E-R-S?
Correct.
What is that in reference to?
That was a name that Jason Papke came up with.
Okay.
He wrote the majority of the songs, and then... through some unfortunate circumstances, we ended up replacing him. Tim and I formed Liquid Me with Chris Brashear on bass.
Yep.
And our first drummer was Brett Percy, who was the owner of Pentacles.
Yes,
New
that's
Age.
Pentacles.
Yeah. And then over the years, we went through, I don't know, I think we had 13 drummers in.
That's awesome. It's Spinal Tap.
Truly. So I'm just... I don't know. We did that for like 16 years in different formations. You and I had that band called Lady Sabbath.
Yeah,
for a while.
So there was another band, Downer, right?
Well, see, the band started out as Downer.
It did, okay.
Yeah, and then when Brett left, he's like, you can't use that name. So we decided to name the band Liquid Me, which was after one of the songs.
Gotcha. Okay,
yeah.
So
And then we called the album Downer.
I see, okay, because
yeah.
I had seen flyers for Downer on there, and I was like, oh, that's crazy.
You know, everybody was melancholy in the 90s.
Oh, yeah, I mean, I was like, whatever. It was like, oh, I'm going to write these angsty
yes.
sad songs. Okay, so we're going to play a song. Now, everybody out there in the land of awesome radio-ness, I have never played any CDs on this show ever, and I'm making an exception today
because it's me.
Because Ange is awesome, and Ange does not have any of the Liquid Me stuff on vinyl. But I really think you should start a GoFundMe, and then
that would be great.
And then take all the, you know, make a greatest hits Liquid Me greatest hits
yes.
album and press it on vinyl.
I would love to do
because I think you could do it.
I have to get the DATs. I don't even know if we have like the masters. Anymore.
You could do stuff. You could figure it out. I could help you with it. But
awesome.
I think I would. I think this is an important thing. So because I don't know, it's just for a longevity thing. Like you have something cool. You know what I mean? Like,
yes.
And something that you could spin to. So we're gonna listen to track two off of what is the name of this album?
The name of this album is Downer. We had four that we did.
Okay, and this is the first album
you
recorded?
Yeah, this is the first album.
And the name of this song?
Staring at the Sun.
Staring at the Sun. Okay, I'm going to cue this thing up, and we're hoping that this goes through. Here we go. Here we go, CD player from 1941. This is Liquid Me. Oh, staring at the sun. That was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Lots of, you know, I miss that era. It reminds me of, so I think it was Lollapalooza 4. It was definitely Lollapalooza 4. There was a lot of female-led bands, I think.
L7.
Yeah. And, Luscious Jackson.
Yep.
They were on there. And there was another one, too.
Was there Veruca Salt? No.
I don't know if Veruca Salt was on that or the side stage or something. I saw them, but I don't remember what. And it was part of some tour, but I can't remember if it was Lollapalooza. That, those days are hazy.
They are
those
hazy.
Mid-90s, like, festival days. But there was this really awesome and whole, you know, obviously them as well. And the Breeders. You know, there was a lot of very, like I said, angsty female-led rock back then, which was amazing. So it just kind of brought me back to that whole scenario. I was talking with Ange during the little when the song was on about just Oneana, and I remember seeing Liquid Me play, and I think the first time I saw it was the Autumn. It could have been the Oak.
We played at the Autumn quite often.
Yeah.
We played at the Oak often.
Because I was kind of in and out of the Autumn. I started working at the Autumn in 98.
Okay.
So.
And we formed in like 97, 95. And that first album came out in 97.
97. That first album came out in 97. And the lineup, once again, the lineup on that first album.
Yeah. Brett Percy on drums.
Okay.
Chris Brashear on bass.
Yep.
me on vocals, yep, and Tim Corbett on guitar.
Lotus.
Freaking shredded. Yeah. Yeah, his nickname was Lotus back then.
Yeah, nickname was Lotus. I've always known him as Lotus.
Yeah.
I don't think I knew him as Tim until like 6 years ago.
Until he grew up.
Yeah, I don't think I...
like we all
I don't
did.
Even know if he's still grown up. I haven't seen him in a long time.
He works at Hartwick.
He works at Hartwick, yeah.
So does his lovely wife, Lisa.
I saw Lisa at the... I played an alumni thing up there.
Oh, nice.
And she was at the alumni thing last week. But yeah, I haven't seen Tim in a long time. But Tim's a great guitar player.
Oh, he's insane.
He's so good. Yes, good times.
Well, Chris started out as a guitar player. And then when Jason Papke left the band because he played bass, Chris just picked up bass. He is a sick, sick bass player.
He's a great bass player.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So along with all that, we're kind of going to listen to some Liquid Me stuff, and we're going to mingle it with, shall I say, some classic 90s kind of tunes as well from this era. I want to play a song off of the first Nirvana album. What are we listening to? You remember what you picked?
I can't remember. What's the thing? I can't remember.
I know.
Love.
Pepperidge Farm remembers. Love Buzz.
Love Buzz.
There we go.
It's a good one.
We'll be right back.
sweetness. That was awesome. That brings me back, yes, too. Oh, listen to all this stuff going on. I should stop this. I just wanted to keep playing the squeals. I'll bring that down. I love that album. I mean, all the Nirvana stuff is amazing to me. That one and Incesticide were always my two favorite albums. Incesticide had a bunch of covers on it, too, but I really like that.
The way that they did covers was really nice. They, like, totally made them their own.
Yeah, and it was amazing. And they were just, I don't know. I found Cobain to be one of the best lyricists in the last, 100 years, along with Bob Dylan. They're, like, a couple of my favorite lyricists. Everybody kind of, in the industry, I just remember the whole... or just guitar playing at that time. Like, when Nirvana came out, a lot of people kind of thought that it killed the guitar. They were like, oh, it's killing the guitar. Because before that, you got to remember, it was like...
Hair metal.
And these shredders, you know? So you had all... When I was learning how to play guitar, it was that. It
Fast
was like Judas Priest and Metallica and Guns N' Roses and, the end of the classic rock thing. So I was still kind of listening to Aerosmith and AC/DC and Sabbath and, like, learning all these guitar parts. And then when Nirvana came out, and they were a little bit different than Soundgarden and Alice in Chains and Pearl Jam, where those bands had pretty amazing guitar players.
Yeah.
Not to say Cobain's not an amazing guitar player. He's a very fitting guitar player for the music he's in.
Yeah.
But it was a different thing, and it actually, I think, reinvigorated a lot of kids to pick the instrument up.
I think so, too. He made it accessible in a way.
100%.
Because it wasn't like, you have to be this amazing guitar player in order to be noticed.
That's right. And it never really has to do with that anyways. It just has to do with good songs, great songwriter, right? Mm-hmm. Speaking of great songs, so one of the bands in the universe of bands that I do not really like, right, is The Who. I like them, but I like half their stuff.
Yeah.
And then the other half of the stuff, I was like, why are you going to get soft on us, Because, like, some of it's, like, so awesome. It's, like, ballsy and whatever. And then all of a sudden it's like, feel me, touch me. And I'm like, stop, just play the heavy stuff. But they had a great song. They had a lot of great songs, but Boris the Spider was one of them.
Yes.
And I remember watching Liquid Meat cover this. And is this from a live recording?
No.
Or is this a studio recording?
It's a studio recording.
It is.
It's on our third album that we just called Three.
Of course, classic. Is it Three with, like, the Arabic number or Three? Oh, it's just an Arabic Three on there. That's awesome. It's not even a Roman numeral.
Real
Liquid
original.
Meat, Three. Awesome. So we're going to listen to Liquid Me, Liquid Me's version of Boris the Spider.
It was fun to do this.
Which looks like it is...
track four.
2 minutes and 12 seconds long.
Sweet.
Which is a crank in here. So here we go. Boris the Spider, originally by The Who, but now on Liquid Me 3.
Violent.
All right. We got some Boris the Spider there.
Once again, oh, my God, everything's going crazy here. Hold on a minute. I'm not used to the CD player. We're making all kind of noise and having way too much fun here. Okay, let me stop this thing. I'm using two turntables, two microphones, Beck, but two CD players with it. I got two turntables, CD players, and microphones. That's right. So with all that going on. Okay, so Boris the Spider, right? We just listened to that, which was a Who song. I don't remember what Who album it's on. That's a good question. So who chose to do that? Do you remember?
We all kind of chose to do it.
Oh, okay.
When we first formed and we were, my ex-husband Chris and I, who played bass, we had a house on Chestnut Street. So basically we had a basement.
Yeah.
And
I remember that basement.
Yeah. I mean, we would have friends come over and we just started writing songs and just jamming all the time. So at one point we had 40 covers that we knew how to do. And our goal was to get 40 originals too. But we wanted to do stuff that was influential. I mean, and
sure.
we're all like AC/DC, Led Zeppelin, Black Sabbath, like Jane's Addiction. I mean, so we kind of run the gamut from 70s, 80s, 90s.
Yep.
So that was our influences. And we wanted to do the Who, and like you had just said during the break, it's the best Who song, but nobody does it.
That's right. It's the best Who song.
So that's why we did it.
I will argue with everybody on that. Won't Get Fooled Again is also really awesome.
Yeah, that is a good
but Boris Spider is better. So so tell me at least like three or four other covers that you did that you really enjoyed doing with that band.
Oh, man.
Do you remember any?
Oh, geez. We did... No. we did Mountain Song by Jane's Addiction.
Oh, very cool.
Oh, so much fun to do.
Very cool. Did you ever see them live?
Hell yeah. Oh, my God. I've seen Jane's many times.
Okay.
First time was Lollapalooza.
The first Lollapalooza.
First Lolla. I had an out-of-body experience.
SPAC?
Yep. It was a SPAC. When they played Ocean Size. Oh, man. So there's that. I mean, we would do, you know, we've done Black Sabbath.
Yeah.
You know. I mean, we did.
I remember you guys always playing Fairies Wear Boots.
Fairies Wear Boots was a big one. Yeah, War Pigs was another big one.
War Pigs.
But, you know, I mean, we would throw in.
Nirvana? Did you play Nirvana covers?
Yeah, we played Nirvana covers. There were some female singers, and I'm blanking, and I don't know why right now. Oh, I mean, you know, like Breeders, Pixies,
of course.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Cool. So, speaking of that first Lollapalooza, I'm going to play a song now that Ian said was really kind of influential in her life on vinyl, and then we're going to come back and listen to another Liquid Me song. This is off of Pretty Hate Machine, right? We're going to listen to Terrible Lies, right?
Yeah, that's a great one.
It's a great song.
Yes.
They're on tour right now. And I've heard
and they're
nothing.
They're tearing it up.
I've heard nothing but amazing things about it.
Yeah.
And I think... Yeah, I mean, they were on that first Lollapalooza.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, and...
It was James and Nine Inch Nails and Jesus and Mary Jane.
Ice Cube. I gotta look it up. I mean, that would the whole lineup was insane.
Living Color?
Yep, in Living Color.
Yeah, Living Color. There was something... There was other ones? Are you looking it up?
I am. I gotta get my readers on because now I'm old.
look at us.
Oh, Susie and the Banshees.
Oh, Susie.
That was another cover. We would do covers of Susie.
Wow.
Nine Inch Nails. Ice-T and
Ice
Body Count.
Ice Cube was
Surfers
something.
And Rollins Band.
Oh, the Butthole Surfers. Oh, the Rollins Band.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, it was so insane. It was so... Oh, and Fishbone.
Yeah. So it was Ice-T. It was Body Count, I think.
It was Body Count.
Oh,
yeah.
Fishbone was on that.
Yes.
That's right.
Fishbone. And I just recently saw Fishbone at Empire Underground with a couple of friends. Jim.
And they're amazing.
They are still amazing.
Yeah.
Still amazing.
Fishbone. Incredible. Yeah. All right, so here's some Terrible Lies, Nine Inch Nails. If you get a chance, I don't know if they're still on tour right now, but I had some friends that went and saw them and said it was completely amazing. So I'm going to play some Terrible Lies right now.
I played the wrong song, played the wrong song, played the wrong song. Whatever. Bowed down to the awesomeness of Nine Inch Nails. I just put on the album without even thinking about it. This one's good too. It's not Terrible Life. So, making a big mistake right there. We're still, well, there it is. I could just keep it going right here while we're talking. Just so we can look at it. There's the song I'm supposed to be playing. I'm just put it really quiet right here. There it is. To get that serotonin level kind of going.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I messed up there. But either way, Nine Inch Nails, big part of both of our upbringing. And, you know, in terms of the industrial rock scene, along with Ministry and stuff like that, that was like so so big there. I think Ministry was on one of those Lollapaloozas too.
Yeah, they were.
I can't remember.
I saw that one.
I think it was maybe the second one.
I think it was the second one.
I think so too. Jesus built my hot rod. That stuff was Psalm 69.
With Gibby.
Yeah. so good. Yeah, once again, we're going to kind of go back to, we're going to play some more Liquid Me stuff. So the Liquid Me was in formation from, you said, 95?
Like 94, 95.
Until?
Like 2005, maybe, in the Liquid Me configuration. And then we kind of, this one doesn't have it. I'm looking at the albums.
I just love that you have a bunch of CDs.
I do have a bunch of CDs.
It makes me so happy.
So that number three came out in 2001. So the fourth album must have come out, I don't know, like a year or two later. So I'd say like 10 years we were doing the Liquid Me thing.
Okay.
And then we kind of split off and did like a Nirvana thing.
Yeah.
And then we were all kind of doing our own things. And then I did that Lady Sabbath thing with you.
Yeah, and that was early 2000s, right?
Yeah, yeah, right.
Because I was living on Chestnut Street.
Oh, okay. So I guess Liquid Me didn't go 10 years.
Yeah, so I left Chestnut Street in... Ella was 3 or 4. Okay. So let's see. I left 2004.
Like, okay, so yeah.
Okay, so
yeah,
about
that's
the
when
same.
We started kind of branching off and doing our own things.
Okay. And then there was a couple reunion shows?
Yeah, well, we had one reunion show, a 20-year reunion show at the B-side in 2017.
Okay.
That was...
I remember that.
So much fun.
And then who was drumming for that?
That was Jeff Downey.
Oh, that's right. Downey. Downey was drumming.
He was like one of our last drummers.
That's right. I remember when Downey was. Like, yeah. He was in the original band.
Yeah, yeah.
He
came on like after Brett left.
Okay.
We had Jeff. We had Orion. At one point.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh.
Oh, I didn't know that.
We had...
Orion's been with everybody.
Yes.
Watch out. Well. This guy probably got all the diseases. No, I'm just kidding.
Dirty band diseases.
dirty Orion. Now he's in my band.
Yeah.
Darn it. Orion, I hope you're not listening to this. Oh, that's crazy. Orion was in there, too. Orion's an amazing drummer as well.
Yeah.
That's an interesting mix with him because he's like a, you know.
Yeah. And then there was another configuration of Liquid Me, like, later on, like, 2007, 8, 9. Tim and Chris and... But it wasn't really Liquid Me. They weren't doing Liquid Me songs. They just were using the name Liquid Me.
You weren't in that.
No.
Yeah, that's right.
No.
Tim was singing.
Yeah. Yeah, they were doing a three-piece. They were called Zero Hour for
that's
a
right.
while.
That's right, Zero
yeah,
Hour.
Yeah, Zero Hour.
Okay. I remember this.
And,
Were they playing Liquid Me songs? They weren't playing
Liquid Me. No, they weren't playing any. They just wanted to use the Liquid Me name because people knew it.
That's right.
Yeah.
Lame. You're Liquid Me. No, I'm just That's you. That's amazing. Okay, so we're going to go back in time again. We're going to hit another song off of the first album.
Yeah.
This is track 9.
Track 9.
And what is the name of this song?
Rare Form.
Rare Form.
Like I'm in rare form.
I'm in rare form.
I'm all sure right. You can all.
Yeah. Here we go. Rare Form. For 4 minutes and 2 seconds, which is the awesomest part about the digital readout, is I actually know how long it is as opposed to the vinyl readout, which sometimes they tell you the times on there, sometimes they don't. You just kind of look at the lines and figure out how long that thing's going to spin for. Anyways, here we go. Rare Form, Liquid Me from 1997.
Yes.
Rare form. Yeah. We're in rare form here.
Yes.
Is what we are.
It's Friday.
It's Friday. That's right. It's Friday. What's everybody doing?
And it's family weekend.
Oh, that's right. It's family weekend. We have a great rock combo show this Sunday at the B-side from 4 to 7 p.m. There's six bands playing.
Awesome.
I'm singing for a System of the Down band. So if people are around and want to come see that,
fun.
Yeah, all kinds of cool stuff going on this weekend up here for Family Weekend. I'm actually doing a guest spot tomorrow from 8 to 9 in the morning here. What's in Your Pocket with Brian Kenneth Miller, who was a graduate from 2010, who's coming to do some TEDx stuff. He's going to be on tomorrow morning. We're going to talk music and play some vinyl and have a good time. So everybody have a great weekend. Thanks, Ange, again for coming.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It was fun.
Yeah, and if you ever come into Hunt, when you come into Hunt Union, if you go to the main desk right there, Ange is there taking control of the world. So you can pop in and say hi to her and be like, your band is awesome. The 90s are awesome. Ange is also going to be singing the part of Eddie in our version of Rocky Horror on Halloween at the Foothills at 10 p.m. So if you want to come see Ange rip some vocals up, that's awesome. I'm going to leave everybody with some Pearl Jam before I get out of here. But it was always fun to be on this radio show.
Thanks, Mark.
This was episode 59, What's in Your Pocket, DJ Nos from Mark 2, coming live at you from the basement of Hunt Union, home of Red Dragon Radio, 90.9 FM. Keeping it locked, y'all.
Heaven's just a rumor she'll dispel. Yeah.
saw me falling and hit that smile.
Okay. Ready?
3, 2, 1.
Meow, 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 meow. Meow, 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 meow. Meow, 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 meow.
Don't be sad. Tune in to WONY 90.9 FM.
Hi, this is Ryan Swan from IT Services. Phishing is an attempt to steal personal information by sending deceiving messages to recipients. These often come in the form of phishing emails. If you notice an email doesn't look quite right, here are a few things to keep in mind to decide whether the email is legitimate or not. First, hover over the URL. Does this seem like a website that the sender would ask you to access? Next, check to see who's sending the email. Sometimes accounts get compromised. This means that the person who's seeing